The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Parsha this week is Parshas Bechukesai. In the beginning of Parshas Bechukesai, it states, "Bechukesai teilechu, yes mitzvesai tishmeiru v'asisem esom." If you shall walk in my statutes and you shall guard my mitzvahs and do them, v'nosati gishmeichem bi'itom, v'nosno oretz yivula, v'itzasodi yitein pirjoi. I will give you rain in the proper times, and the land will give forth her fruit, and the trees of the field will give its fruit. And then the Torah carries on with one brocha after another brocha after another brocha. A little further, Pasuk Yudalid, it states, "Bimlesi shvuli," but if you will not listen to me. And then it states, "Bimlechukaisa timoasu," and you will despise my statutes, and you will not do them. And then we have the converse, that the Torah goes on and on and on with, heaven forbid, the contrary to brochas, the klovis. Rashi brings from the Tedes Kahanim, what does it mean if you will walk in my statutes? Rashi says, is that referring to the fulfillment of mitzvahs? No. Because later it states, right afterwards, "I made tzvaisai tishmeiru," that you will fulfill my mitzvahs. Harei kiyum ha-mitzvahs omor, v'omani mekayimim b'chukeisai teilichu, shitziu amelim b'torah, if you will labor in Torah. And so is it later on, if you will not labor in Torah. So we see from here that the source of all brachas starts with laboring in Torah. You are mainly the Torah. And the source of all, heaven forbid, klolis, starts with the converse, if you will not be amelim the Torah, if you will not labor in Torah. Here we can ask the question, why do we find the source of brochas is dependent on one's total labor in Torah? Now we'll go to another Gemara, which also is a well-known Gemara. But we'll also have a question to ask on that. And this is the Gemara in the Sechti Yevomis, Perkabal Yivinte, Dav Samach Aleph, Dav Samach Beis on the Beis. And the Pasuk in Gehelis, Yudalef, the Bekes Zra Ezarecho, Ule'erev Altonach Eshotcho, that in the morning one should plant his seeds, but in the erev, in the evening, he shall not cease from planting. And the Gemara Darshins, Rabbi Kiva Imer, the morning refers to one's youth, and the erev refers to one's old age. You study Torah in your youth, you must study Torah in your old age. If you bring up disciples, Talmidim, in Torah, in your youth, do not cease in your old age, but carry on in your old age, Biziknusai, because you never know what is going to happen. You shouldn't say, "I fulfilled my duty. I have brought into the world many good Talmidim, and now I can do other things, or now I can retire, or now I can learn for myself." That you must never say, because you never know what might happen with these Talmidim. And then the Gemara tells us, "Omru, Shnaim Osar Elef Zugim Talmidim Hayole Rabbi Kiva." It was said that the great Rabbi Kiva had 12,000 pairs, in other words, 24,000 disciples. Megivus Ananti Peres. They spread over the entire Eretz Yisrael. The Kulan Mesa Bukhara. All of them died at one time, during one period, because They do not give proper honor one to the other. V'hoya olam shomim, and the world was desolate from Torah. Atzibar b'kivay tzara b'ashemi shabadorah, until the Rabbi Kiva went to the south of Eretz Yisrael, and there he started another yeshiva. First he had a big yeshiva, 24,000. There he started a small yeshiva, 5 talmidim. Bishon Alehem. Who were the 5? Ramea, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Loza ben Shamua. The Haim Hamidu Torah also show. And they, these 5, brought back Torah to Klal Yisrael. Tama, we learned, Kula Meisa Rupesek Maratzeres. They all died in the period between Pesach and Shavuos, the period that we're in now of Sfiras Emor. Yesterday we celebrated Lag BaOmer, and the reason given for the celebration of Lag BaOmer is because the plague ceased. This plague ceased on the 33rd day. Even though the Gemara says that they died during the entire period, the Manal explains that, but no one was stricken anew with the plague from Lag BaOmer on. It was those who were stricken before. And when there's a plague and it stops, then it's cause for a celebration. That's why Lag BaOmer is known as a mixtus yomtov, a day of partial celebration. This is the story. What the Gemara is telling us is that you cannot be batuach, you cannot rely on your deeds. He brought into the world 24,000 talmidim, and we see that their Torah did not last in the world. In his old age, he taught only 5, the Haim Amidu Torah to Israel, and they brought back Torah to Israel. Therefore, he darshan bebeke, what Shlema Melech King Solomon said in Keheles bebekes ra'asa acho, that in the morning, in your youth, you shall plant l'erev al tonach yotcho, and in the evening, do not cease. In your older age, you must not cease from producing. Now, this story is well known to us, but is very difficult to understand. Why was there? This was not really a punishment. This was one of the greatest tragedies that ever happened to Klal Yisrael. As you can see, that we still commemorate this tragedy thousands of years later. Every year we commemorate this tragedy by keeping various forms of mourning, even though one is only allowed to actual mourn for 30 days in honor of a father and mother. He keeps up some things for 12 months. It's thousands of years already since Rabbi Kiva. This was a churban. This was a destruction of Torah and Klal Yisrael. Why was the Torah so harsh with him? Why was Hashem so harsh with him? 24,000? And being Talmidim of the great Rabbi Kiva, they must have been very, very great. Now it is true, the Gemara says, Shalei Norgu Kovat Zelazer, they didn't give honor one to another. And we know that giving honor is very important. The fact is, that was the actual theme of last week's Shir, Anei Noz Dvorim, where in Parshas Behara tells us that you are not allowed to harm one or inflict one with words, which is the opposite of giving honor to one. And when the Talmidim, the Gemara brings in Brochus Dav Chof Ches on the base, came to the great Reb Lezer, Toner Rabbonin Kishechola Reb Lezer, Reb Lezer became sick, he was old, and Nichnus the Talmidim Levakrei, and the Talmidim, the disciples came to visit him. And they said, Rebbe, Lamdenu Olches Chaim, Meniske Behem Leilam Abor, teach us the way to walk in this world in order that we can merit the world to come. And he told them a number of things to be careful with. The first thing he said, Omalei Hizaru Bechveit Chavreichem, be very careful with the honor to your fellow man, to your Chaverim. When we take Kach, and through this you will be Zeicher to the world to come. And we see that to give honor to a chaver is very, very important. And the Maral explains there, because in every person is the Tzelem Elokim, the image of Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Nasa Adam, the Talmeinu Kib Musein, we shall make man in our own image. And Chibi Yisera, a special endearment was given to man, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave part of himself to man, which he did to no other creature. So therefore, when one insults a chaver and does not give him the proper honor, he's insulting the Tzelem Elokim, the image of Hashem. And when one gives honor, he's clinging to the image of Hashem, he's giving honor to it. Well, that's like to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and through this he'll merit with the word to the world to come. So we see, we elaborated on this last week. So we see this is something which is very, very important. But still, we can ask the question, but somewhat harsh, that 24,000 should die because they were not careful in this. So we have these two questions. How to understand what happened with the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, and why do we find that the source of all of the brachas in the world comes from laboring in Torah, and the converse, one does not give himself over to the labor of the Torah constantly and consistently, this heaven can forbid, can bring the rebukes and the opposite of bracha. With the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, we have to understand that there was another dimension also. Because aside from the fact that they were poga, that they transgressed and trespassed on this great mitzvah and middle of giving honor to a fellow man, they also were pogo b'kfeir HaTorah. They also transgressed and trespassed on affording honor to the Torah. Because the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were all Talmidei Chachamim. They were all great Torah scholars. And therefore, it was an aveira kfula. It was a double aveira. And even more, actually, the Chazal tell us, and this has an expression in Halochos, that Chaverim that learn together, not only must they give honor to each other, if one is a Talmud Chacham, but it's a question also where they must give honor because one to the other becomes a Rebbe. Because it's impossible when Chaverim learn together for a long time that one shouldn't learn something from the other one. And when you learn something from someone else, you learn Torah from someone else, he becomes not only just a Talmud Chacham, but he becomes your Rebbe. Like we see with David HaMelech. Someone taught David HaMelech Pasuk Echad, one halacha. He would stand up for him. He would embrace him. He would kiss him and call him Rebbe, because he taught him some Divrei Torah. And halachot's brought. When you have a group of Talmidim that learn constantly together, it's impossible that one should not learn something from the other. So not only did they transgress on the kavod HaTorah, but also on kavod Rabbi, on the kavod of a Rebbe. And we know that the Torah is very, very stringent when it comes to giving honor to the Torah, to the scholars of the Torah, and especially to one's Rebbe. So this helps us to understand it a little more, but still, it's not sufficient. Why is it that we are obligated to such a degree to honor the Torah and the Chachamim and the sages? To understand this, we must understand what does it mean this that we find in the world, that one must appropriate, one must be cholik, impart honor where honor is due. Whenever anything excels, anything or anyone excels and is distinguished beyond others, this requires recognition. And the recognition is manifested, and the recognition is expressed in imparting honor to them. This is what it means to give respect, to give honor where honor is due. And this is a midah, this is a quality which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed in the creation. You find it all over. Someone excels, you must give him recognition. And the recognition is given and is expressed by being chelek kovod, by imparting honor to him, by recognizing him, by respecting him. And this is true when it comes to people, when it comes to something inanimate. We must recognize Godless greatness, and we must express it. On the other hand, if we don't give honor where honor is due, if we do not express this recognition where it is due, this shows that we do not recognize this person or this thing as something that is excelled. And it becomes the neglect of giving honor where honor is due. And sometimes it can be even understood as disgracing one. So this is the general principle. But there's another principle also. When we say that you must recognize something for its value, you must give honor where honor is due to someone or something that excels, how much honor must you give? This is in accordance to the erech, in accordance to the true value and height of that which we are recognizing, of that we respect. For example, you may have someone that is the best checker player in the world. And therefore we say we must recognize this and we must respect this. Well, we must give it as much honor as should be accorded to the best checker player in the world. Unfortunately, the Chazal tell us that you can understand a person by who he pays honor to. From here you can see his values. Like, for example, many people will show great honor to wealthy people. So what do we see from there? They are placing a great value on wealth. So they're recognizing it and they're expressing it. Today in the world, who gets the greatest honor? The rugby players, soccer players, the world boxing champions, the world wrestling champions. Oy, from here you can see what kind of world we live in. What kind of world we live in. The movie stars, they get the greatest honor. You come to the Oscars, and you see the enormous limousines pull up, and everybody there in their black ties, and all of the glamour and the jewelry, and billions of dollars of television coverage. From here we see what kind of world we live in. But that is because of the tipshus, the stupidity of the people. But you must give honor where honor is due, and in accordance to the worth of that that you're giving honor to. So if someone excels in something which is in accordance to reality or the truth, very, very non-significant, we can give him a little non-significant honor. But if someone excels in something which is, if someone excels in something which is of true value, of true erech, then it requires recognition. And the lack of that recognition will be a trespass. Great king, a great and mighty king, a melech, I'm obligated to give him honor, especially if he's such a good king, powerful king, and to recognize this and to respect it. So this is an explanation of the mida, of the quality of imparting honor to something or someone else. This has been chelik kovod. And sometimes, when we're speaking of someone or something which is so very great, just the lack of giving him the proper recognition or honor can be an act of disgrace. We do not have to disgrace the person in reality. Openly, for example, a king comes and you sit in the presence of the king. What did I do wrong? I didn't insult him. I didn't spit at him. I merely sat. That itself would be an enormous disgrace to a great king. The Medrash tells us in Shmeis Rabbah, Perek Lamed Gimel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe and Yisrael, Ki lekach tov nosati lochem torosi al ta'azogu. This is a pasuk in Mishlei. I am giving you a lekach tov. I am giving you some merchandise which is good. Al my Torah al ta'azogu. Do not forsake my Torah. אל תעזוב המקח שנוסעתי לכם. יש לך אודם שלקח מקח, הקודש ברוך הוא said. Sometimes someone buys some merchandise, יש בזהב ואין בכסף. It has gold in it, but not silver. יש בכסף ואין בזהב, it has silver and not gold. אבל המקח שנוסעתי לכם, but the merchandise that I'm giving to you, יש בזהב ויש בכסף. It has both gold and silver. And the Medrash brings proof to it. What does this mean? So the Maral explains in Tferes Yisrael, Perek Mem Vav. The greatness of silver is its purity. Of all of the ores, of all of the metals that we have, the purest is silver. You refine it and you refine it until it is totally pure. And this is what attracts people to silver, to see this beautiful purity. On the other hand, though, it does not have an innate beauty, because beauty comes from color, and silver has no color. To the contrary, because it lacks any color, that's a sign of its purity. Because a color is a sign of an additive. So this is the greatness of silver, purity. Some merchandise has purity. The Torah has purity. The greatness of gold, God is the chemdo, the beauty to the eye. its dazzling beauty, its color. It does not have the purity of the silver, because these two principles are contradictory. But it has the beauty and the sparkle of gold and of the color. Some merchandise is like that. But it's impossible for one article to have both, because they are contradictory. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Torah is different. It has the greatest purity. Its laws and its mitzvahs are pure. Torah Hashem is tohor. And at the same time, it has the greatest beauty, that when people hear it, they say how beautiful are its ways, and how beautiful and straight is its intelligence, is its intellect. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu went further. Yesh lecho adam lekeach sodes avalei kromim, kromim avalei sodes. Some people buy merchandise which are fields, grain fields, but not vineyards. Others buy vineyards, but not grain fields. Aval hamekach hazeh yesh bei sodes v'yesh bei kromim. But this merchandise, the Torah, has both fields and vineyards. What is the meaning here? When you buy a field and you look at its yield, at its crops, the grains and the maize, you know what you're buying. It's the Golui, it's revealed. If you buy a vineyard, even if you see the vineyard, and even if you see the grapes, you do not know what you're buying. Because you buy the grapes to make wine from them. And you have to take the grapes and put them in the barrels. And you have to let them process them and leave them stand for a long time until they become wine. And one never knows if that's going to be good wine, maybe ochre wine, or even sour wine and vinegar. So the kromim, the vineyards, is a dover seser, is something which is concealed. You do not know the potential of the wine that's concealed deep into the grape. The crops and the field you see. Some merchandise, its value can be seen. Others, is hidden. The Torah is both. The Torah has a golui, a nigla, and it has a nister. It has a revealed meaning, and it has a concealed meaning. It has a revealed meaning where anyone can take it from. It has a concealed meaning where the greatest of the wise of the world constantly toil to find deeper and deeper meanings. It has revealed qualities that bring a person bracha in this world, which is the revealed world, and it has concealed qualities which will bring a person bracha in the next world, which is the concealed world. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm giving you something which is very special, you must understand. It's a lekach tov. It's a type of merchandise that you'll never find anyplace else. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu went further. It's not only that, but Yesh lachodim lekeach mekach ve'ein b'nei adam yedi mahu avon mishkar asir sum neidem malokach. Sometimes a transaction takes place and the people do not know how much money passed hands. For example, let's say someone buys a big bank, public bank, stock exchange, or private bank, and they do not know its value because they do not know how much was paid for it. But Mishkar HaSirsur, the brokers that made the deal, if they can find out what their commission was, they can get an idea of what was the value of the purchase. If the commission was a little, okay, but let's say the commission itself was in the millions or the billions. From there they can get an idea of what the value of the purchase was. Kodesh Baruch Hu said the same thing with the Torah. When I gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, you wouldn't know its value, but if you looked at Moshe, he was the broker between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Israel. Look at his commission, and from there you can understand the essence of the Torah. What was Moshe's commission? It states that when Moshe came down from Har Sinai, Moshe lo yoda ki koran or ponov bidabri itay. Moshe's face had lit up with a light, which he didn't realize. Why was this? Not because he spoke to Hashem, because many, many prophets spoke to Hashem, and their face never lit up like that. But it was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him the entire Torah. Moshe's face was full of light to the point where the people couldn't even look at him. From there we can get an idea of what the Torah is. That the Torah is kula or. It is all light. And we have nothing in this world that we can describe as being something of the highest level and of the greatest spiritual level as or, light. And from Moshe's face being full of light from receiving the Torah, from there HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Nishar HaSirsu, you can understand what the Torah is, that my Torah is kula or, it is all light. And through those who learn it and labor in it, they will become full of light. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said even further. He said, Yesh lecho shemi shemachorei nimkar imai. When you buy merchandise, you get the merchandise, but you do not get the one who sold you the merchandise. But this merchandise that I gave to Moshe, to Yisrael, this was not only the merchandise, but even the one who sold them the merchandise. Who is that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Kaviyochal nimkarti imo. How do we know this? It states, Moshe lemelech shol yibas shefido. There was a king who had an only daughter. Young prince came, asked to marry her. The king agreed. They made the chasana. They made the sheva brachas, all of the celebrations. Afterwards, bikesh loleches al arzei. He came to the king and he said, give me my wife, I have to return to my home. And the king said, bitin shenasati loch yechidihi. My daughter that I gave you is my only daughter. Lifreish mimene ini ochel. To separate myself from her, I cannot. On the other hand, lema loch al titlenu yafshur shiyishtecho. On the other hand, to say that I won't give her to you, that I can't, because she's your wife now. So what should we do? So he said, b'chol mokum shatem holchim ba'isechot asu li she'edor etzlochem. So the king said, do me this favor. Wherever you take my daughter, make a little home for me also, so I can come and stay. Kachoma HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you buy merchandise, you buy the merchandise. You don't get the merchant with it. But when I gave you the Torah, I had gave you my only daughter. Now you want to take her away from the heavens to the earth. The celebration is over. The festivities are over. Lifreish, hey Benno, I cannot separate myself from her. On the other hand, I cannot stop you from taking her. I gave her to you. So do this for me. Wherever you take her, build a home for me also, that I might come and dwell with you also. Weil sehr nehmal, and that's what it states, the Osuli Migdosh Vishochamti Besechom, make a sanctuary for me that I may dwell with you. Now from this medrash we see enormous principles, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I testify what I sell to you is perfect. Ki lekach tov nasati lachem. First of all, we see that the Torah is kol el hakol. It's all-encompassing. It's gold, it's silver, it's fields, it's vineyards. It encompasses everything, even things which are contradictory to each other. The ultimate of purity, the ultimate of beauty, the ultimate of that what's revealed, the ultimate of that what's concealed. It brings the person brach in this world and in the next world. And we see further that it's kula or, it's all light. And he who has Torah is eichet or, merits light, like Moshe Rabbeinu. And we see even further that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's part of me. When I give you the merchandise, I have to give you myself also. Because we cannot be separated. I'm giving you part of me. And by taking the Torah into the earthly world, you are bringing me into the earthly world. And therefore also, limingosh vishochamdi beseichom, make for me a mingosh that I may dwell amongst you. You didn't bring Torah down, but you didn't bring the merchandise down, but you brought the merchant also with the merchandise. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Gemara says, when a merchant tells you something is good, you know what that means. You look at it carefully, and you take it with a grain of salt. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki lekach tov, and he says it's good, and tov is his ultimate word for something which is sholem, perfect, you can believe him. And therefore he said, Ki lekach tov nosati lochem, torasi al ta'azovu, do not forsake it. I beg of you, do not forsake it. And that's what the Gemara tells us, Chem the Genuzo, the Malachim, wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. Out there, a Yalud Isha, someone who was born from an earthly being, come to the heavens and bring down to the earth Chem the Genuzo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's most valued treasure that was created. Tov Tov Kuf Ein Daledoris, 974 generations before the world. And it was created 1,000 generations before it was given. Torosi, he gave Nosati Lelev Dor, he gave it 1,000 generations after it was given, after it was created, and it was given on the 26th generation. So it was created 974 generations before the world was created, and 1,000 generations before it was given. Now, with this, we can understand very well our first question. Why do we find in Bechukai Sai Teilechu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yameilim b'Torah, if you will bond yourself to Torah, and you will labor in Torah, Yigisa b'yom v'layla, day and night you will labor in Torah whenever you can, and you will not depart from the Torah, from the laboring in my Torah. Then from there will come all of the brachas. It's the source of all brachas. To the contrary, if you forsake my Torah, forsake the laboring in the Torah, from there, heaven forbid, will come the techochas, the contrary of brachas, the klolos. So that we can understand. But we understand something even more here. If the nature which HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted in the world and in man demands that we must recognize excellence. We must recognize and give honor and do honor and do respect to someone or something that excels above others. And I call the fi erkai, and all in accordance to how much it excels. The hakol lefi erecho emes, and all in accordance to the value of that excellence, to the true value of that excellence. So what is the greatest excellence? What is the greatest gift that came into this world? This was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki lekach tov, I am giving you something which really is not from this world. It encompasses all of this world, and it preceded the world. And it brings you bracha in this world and in the next world. And it's part of myself, which I give it to you, I also have to be given to you. If this is Torah, and there is nothing that can compare to it in the entire creation, and there is nothing that excels more, and there is nothing more of true value. It's not the merchant that's saying this is good stuff. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's saying, Ki lekach tov al ta'azovu. So what requires the greatest recognition and the greatest honor? It's the Kovar HaTorah and Chachomel, the Torah, and those who have Torah. And what can be, what would be the greatest disgrace in the world then? Let's say the greatest king of the whole world came, and he walked into the room, and we didn't bother to stand up. We didn't spit at him, we didn't insult him with words, we just didn't give him honor. This is the greatest disgrace. And this shows that one does not recognize what it is. And when one does not declare what it is, or one even rebels against what it is, this becomes a total insult and disgrace. And therefore, he who does not accord honor to Torah in its appropriate measure, it becomes the greatest insult and disgrace to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in this world. Even if he does not outright insult the Torah, Kal Vachomer, how much more so if he would. And this we find. The Gemara brings as a posuk in Parshas Shlach Lecha, Perek Tes Vav Posuk Lamed Aleph, which states, Ki Dvar Hashem Bozo. He has insulted and disgraced the word of Hashem. Now how would you interpret someone who has insulted and disgraced the word of Hashem? I would say, if someone blasphemy, someone gets up in public, and he, heaven forbid, will take the word of Hashem, and he'll say, I don't want to say what he could say. That's Kidvar Hashem Bozo. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says not like that. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Tzadik Tes and the Rambam brings it in Hildes Talmud Torah in Seif Per Gimel, says, Kol She'efshe Le'lasek B'Torah, Ve'ena Osek, Hareze Bichlal Dvar Hashem Kidvar Hashem Bozo. Whoever can study Torah, and he does not study Torah, he is inclusive in Kidvar Hashem Bozo, he has insulted and disgraced the word of Hashem. What did he do? He didn't do anything. He went to the ball game. That's what he did. So why is it Dvar Hashem Bosa? Why did he disgrace the word of Hashem? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings his greatest treasure into the world and he gives it to Israel, and he says, here is the source of all of the brachas of the world, and it's greater than the world, and it's part of me. Take from it, drink from it, al ta'azovu, and you walk away from it to do something else, which no matter what it can be. Hareze bechlal ki dvar Hashem bozo. This is a total disgrace and insult and outrage to the Dvar Hashem, to the Torah. Because where great honor is required, even the lack of giving that honor becomes a great disgrace. And we have another example. We have many examples, but we'll cite one more. There's a Mishnah in Masechta Ovis which is very difficult to interpret. It's a Mishnah in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Zayin. Learning. Umafsik, and he stops his learning. Mafsik mi mishnosari. He stops his learning. The Aymer, and he says, Manoah ilon zeh, how beautiful this tree is. Umanoah nir zeh, how beautiful is this freshly plowed field. Malalova kosu, ki ilu mishai benafsir. That person is guilty with his life. And then he couldn't understand it. What? Ma godlu ma'ase ma'asech Hashem. He's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. Amahalek b'derech. Someone is walking on the way. He's shayna, and he's learning. He's saying over Mishnais. He's saying over Gemaras. Or he's talking to a chaver and learning. Umafsik, and he stops his learning. Mafsik b'mishnosar. The Amen, he says, look how beautiful that tree is. Look how beautiful this freshly plowed and seeded field is. The Torah says it's as if that person is guilty with his life. Now, how can that be? The Maral says a wonderful pirush. He says, what would happen if a great king came and he was talking to you? And then another man comes along, or his servant comes along, and you turn around and stop talking to the king, and you start a conversation with the servant. He says, that's punishable by death. That's an outright insult, an outrage to the king. I'm a king and I'm talking to someone. And all of a sudden in the middle he stops and he starts a conversation with my servant. Stop the conversation with me. Could there be a greater bizui, a greater disgrace to the king? Sure, the tree is the Masech Hashem. Sure, the field is the Masech Hashem. But how can that compare to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah? That when you're learning Torah, you're talking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. States when one learns Torah, it's as if he embraces the king himself. Because the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one. And all of a sudden you stop, and you go to one of his humble servants and start a conversation with him when the king is in the middle of talking to you. That person, as if he's guilty, he's guilty with his life. Because he didn't insult anything. But the king is talking to you, and you're talking to the king, and you walk away in the middle. It's a bizayon gadol. Now, we're beginning to understand a bit the mention with the lack of proper honor between the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. But it's more than that. There's another dimension. There is Kavanat Torah, to give the Torah honor. For example, we give the Sefer Torah honor. If you take out a Sefer Torah, you're obligated to stand. You're not allowed to sit until the Sefer Torah comes to its resting place. You have to be mahadar, bring beautiful mantlech to the Sefer Torah. You have to spend money to make it beautiful, zekeli vanvehu. You have to show honor and respect and chibur and birman to the Sefer Torah. There is the kovod haTorah. Then there is the kovod of the Chachomim, of the sages, and of those who are wise in the Torah. Now these are two things, because here we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, and the other we're talking about people that learn the Torah. You know, it's a strange thing that in all my experience in growing up amongst Gedalim, and especially the Litvishe Gedalim, I always witnessed where they gave beautiful honor to a Sefer Torah. But they gave far much more honor, unequal honor, to the Lomdei Torah, to the Chachomim of the Torah. Far more. This is something that I always witnessed. There were times. The fact is, today it's quite common in Eretz Yisrael, and it's come to Johannesburg, that if you bring in a new Sefer Torah, you make a great festival of Chanukah Sefer Torah. In all my times with the Litvish Gedalim, it was something I never saw. Never saw. And it was years and years and years I spent with them. And there must have been times when they brought in Sifrei Torah. And I once asked Rabbi Loy, Zichrono Livracha, who was from Vita, he lived in Vilna. He told me, no, they didn't make anything. Very, if anything, it was very little, very little. Yet I recall, if a Adam Godel came in the yeshiva, once in a while there would be a visitor, there would be an Adam Godel, a great Torah scholar, became a whole yantiv. The person was honored to say a shiur that day, disrupt the whole schedule. He'd say a shiur before the whole yeshiva, hundreds of bochim. Rabbi Shirov would come. Blaise Silver Zichrono Livracha. I remember one time that the Baron Kotler wanted to come to Cleveland to raise money for his yeshiva. And the Rosh Yeshivas, who were his own contemporaries, they said they would help him. They had the Bochrim put signs over the whole city, Chochem Bali Ir, to new cover the Torah. A Chochem is coming to the city. Give honor to the Torah. Come and hear him. I recall one instance. We were rooming, actually, this I was rooming together with Rabbi Penzer. And we were rooming by a certain young couple. They learned in the Kollel. And his grandfather, the one that was learning in the Kollel, his grandfather, an old Zayde, was living with him. This was a man 80, 90 years old, an old Litvisher. And one day the Blazer Silver came to the yeshiva. The Blazer Silver came to America in the early days, when he was from the great Gaonim. He was a Talmud by Reb Chaim Eser, and a Talmud by Vilna Rav, and a Talmud by Ben Agachov, a great Gaon. And he came to Tells one day. He used to visit there often. He was a Rav in Cincinnati, which was not too far from there. And whenever he came to Tells, there was all tumult, and he would give a shir and so forth. So he popped him, used to come without notice. That afternoon we went home, so we told the Zayda that Blazer Silver's door. Blazer Silver came, is here. The Zayda was in his 80s. Automatically, he stood up, he went over to the cupboard and put his hat on. We said, Zayda, what are you doing? The gates of the yeshiva. Said, Makabal Bobby, I'm going to the yeshiva to greet him. We said, no, he's here now. I will make a time when you can come. But this was it. Blazer Silver, Godel, came to the city. Immediately, he went to the closet, put on his hat, and gave Makabal Bobby. I have to go greet him. There was another Jew here who lived in Maltz. Maltz. It was one of the cities where Rav Shimon Shkop was a Rav. And then Rav Shimon was leaving to go to another city. He was a little boy. And he says, the whole city came to the train to be malavim. And they cried. Now this is something I saw all the time. And it wasn't long ago that one of the, my Talmidim, Rabbi Graham Finkelstein, he showed me in the Chayodim, in the Sefer Torah, where the Chayodim writes. He says, some make great festivities from the, when you bring in a new Sefer Torah. He says, no, this is not our custom. We didn't make a big thing. And he was a Rav in Vilna during the time of the Vilna Gaon. He says, we had better use the money and give it to the Talmidim that learn Torah. That's a greater Kavanah Torah. Now what does all of this mean? What does this mean? This was based on a Gemara. This is based on a Gemara like, generally, what Talmidei Chachamim do. And the Gemara itself needs explanation. The Gemara Makos and Daf Chof Beis, the Gemara says as follows. Second. Omar Rava. Rava said, Kama Tipshoi Shar Inshi. Tipshoi means a tipish. A tipish means a fool. Very harsh word. A tipish is someone who's a total fool, a totally stupid. And the Rava says, how foolish, how stupid are people? The kaimi mekame sefer Torah. That when you take a sefer Torah out, they get up. The lekaimi mekame gavra rabba. But when a gavra rabba, a chochem comes by, they do not get up. And Rashi says on that, he says, Kama Shaitim Halolu Rei B'nei Odom. How a shaita is an expression you used on someone who, heaven forbid, had no das, an idiot. He says, how great idiots are so many people that before a Sefer Torah they will stand up. And before a person who is wise in the Sefer Torah, they will not stand up. Now this Gemara needs explanation. Because we are commanded to give great honor to the Sefer Torah. That's without a doubt. And heaven forbid that someone who does not give great honor to the Sefer Torah. At the same time, we are commanded to give honor to the Chachomim. In Parshas Kedeshim, Perek Yutes, Posuk Lamed Beis, Mipnei Seva Tokum, Be'odat B'nei Zokim. States, you shall rise before the elders, and you must honor the presence of the learned. Or we have a Posuk in Parshas Ekev, Perek Yud, Posuk Chof, Es Hashem Elekecho Tiro, that you shall fear Hashem your God, and the Gemara Sochim, the Chof Aleph Amad Beis, Amar Rabbi Kiva, the rabbi is Tamid HaChomim. What does it mean, Es Hashem? And Hashem Elekecha? comes to be marbe tamid hachomim, that you must give the proper fear and respect also to tamid hachomim. So the Rava should have said merely that one is obligated to honor the Sefer Torah, and one also must honor the learned of the Torah. He didn't say that. The fact is, had Rava said, kishem, like many times the Gemara says, kishem shechayovin lechabed, as Sefer Torah, kachayovin lechabed, as tamidei chachomim, which would mean that just like one is obligated to honor the Sefer Torah, one is also obligated to honor a Talmud Chacham, we would have a kasha. How can you compare a person to the Torah? No matter how much a person knows, but he's not a Sefer Torah. So we would have a kasha. But here we have an enormous question. Rav is saying a kal v'chemer. He's saying, these people, how stupid can they be when they stand up before a Sefer Torah, and they won't stand up before a person who has learnt from the Sefer Torah? In other words, he's saying, were they even more so, they should stand up for the person. So he's saying that it's more important to stand up for the person than for the Sefer Torah itself. Now, what person can come along and say, I'm a Sefer Torah? But we have another kasha also. It would have been enough for Rava to say, if you have to stand up for a Sefer Torah, then kal v'chemer, even more so, you must stand up for a person who has learned from the Sefer Torah. But he uses such a harsh language, kama tipshoi. What kind of fools and idiots are they? And Rashi uses the Loshen Shaitim. How ignorant can the masses be when they'll stand for a Sefer Torah, but a Gavra Rabba they won't? In other words, they're saying that if you consider a Sefer Torah greater than the Talmud Chacham, you are a Sheita, a Tipish. This is what the Gemara is saying. Now what does this mean? And the Maral explains very well. He says there's no comparison between a Talmud Chacham and a Sefer Torah. A Talmud Chacham is far greater than a Sefer Torah. Far greater. He says there can be no comparison. Why? The Hamon, the masses, think that the Sefer Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Is that the Torah? The Torah was created before the world was created. The Torah encompasses all of the worlds. Is that the Torah? You take a skin from an animal and you make a hide from it, and you take ink from a plant. Is that the Torah? Is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah? I bet it has Kedusha. It has Kedusha Sefer Torah. A Kodesh Baruch Hu brought into this world the sanctity of a Sefer Torah, and he brought it Tzimtzum Achat Tzimtzum, where he limited it with thousands of limitations. He reduced it with thousands of reductions to be able to bring some of the sacredness of the Sefer Torah and reduce it to ink and reduce it to a cloth, to a skin, and to the wood of the Sefer Torah. And therefore the Shem Shamayim is Chal, the Kiddush is Chal. And this is the Sefer Torah. But this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Sefer Torah, which is Chem de Genuza, which is, encompasses all of creation, which he has brought into this world, where it can even take effect on a skin and on ink. But what is a person who learns Sefer, who learns Torah? A person who learns Torah, this is also HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, but where is it taking effect? On a skin, on an animal's hide, on ink. It's implanting itself on a person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, who has a nefesh and an neshama and Atzelem Elokim. And that's where the Kedusha implants itself. Now, what would you say is greater? Would you say a hide made from an animal is greater, or a person made by a Kodesh Baruch Hu is greater? Kama Tipshoi, that's what the Rava said. Shotim, the same Kedushas HaTorah that takes effect in the physical Sefer Torah is taking effect in the Chachmei HaTorah. Except one is implanting itself on the hide of an animal, and the other is implanting itself on the Tzelem Elokim. Kama Tipshoi, how Shotim, how idiotic it can be that the masses will stand up for a Sefer Torah, but Kame Gavarabo, they will not stand up. And the Maral in another place, which I just saw recently, says something to the same vein, but he asked a question. The Gemara says that the Tinaiki Shel Beis Rabban, Tinaiki Shel Beis Rabban, when you're learning Torah, the schools that learn Torah with the children, Ein Mevatlin Es Tinaiki Shel Beis Rabban Afilu Lebinyan Beis Hamidosh. You're not allowed to cease the teaching of Torah to the children, even for the building of the Beis Hamikdash. Now it's explained. Hakol Hayovim, everybody's obligated to go and help build the Beis Hamikdash. Men, women, but not children. Children are not obligated in mitzvahs, and besides, they just get in the way there. They can help by staying home. So what does it mean? It means the Malamdim. The teachers are not allowed to go help in the building of the Beis Hamikdash because they'll leave the children, and we're not allowed to allow that to cease. This is how important it is. Unfortunately, many parents do not understand this, and for any reason whatsoever, they take their children out, even if it's a mitzvah called to who, they don't realize what it means teaching Torah to a children, to the children. But the Maral asked the Kasha. He says, what would you say is greater, the Cheder or the Beis Hamikdash? Probably the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash is in Yerushalayim, in Har HaTzion, Har HaBayis, Har HaBayis, Zekodesh, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what is the Beis Hamikdash? So yes, so therefore if the Beis Hamikdash is greater, that should take precedence over teaching the children. This is his kasha. So he answers, from here you see that the cheder is greater than the Beis Hamikdash. That's what he answers. From here you see the cheder is greater than the Beis Hamikdash. How can that be? He says, very simple. He says, what is the Beis Hamikdash? The Beis Hamikdash is Eitzim Va'avonim. It's built from stone and wood. So what is so special about the Beis Hamikdash? Because we take the Kedusha of Hashem and the Kedusha of the Torah and we implant it in stone and wood, that's the greatness of the Beis Hamikdash. What's the greatness of the Tashbar, of the Tinaiki Shel Beis Rabban, of the Cheder? We take the Kedusha of Hashem and the Kedusha of Torah and we implant it in children. What is greater, children or stones and sticks? There's no doubt children are far greater because they were created with a nefesh, with a life, and a neshama, and a tzelem elokim, in the image of Hashem. So if the kedusha, the sanctity of the Torah, that goes into the stones and the sticks, creates a Beis Hamikdash, so how much even greater will be if the Kedusha, the sanctity of the Torah, goes into the hearts and the souls of the children, how much more greater that will be. Therefore, ein mevatlin tineke shel beis rabban afilu lebinyan beis amigdosh. The cheder is greater. And what he's saying is not his own, because it's a Gemara. The Gemara in Erechim says that what was the great sin of the Meragli? Because they said Loshon Hara Meitzidiba Alo Oretz on Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, perhaps you'll say that that was because of Eretz Yisrael. It says just the opposite. Uma, if someone says Loshon Hara on Eitzim Va'avonim, Eretz Yisrael is made from sticks and stones and earth, and this was the Aveira. So someone who says Loshon Hara on a boss of Adam, on the Tzelem Elokim, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, how much more so? The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was the Kedushas Hashem implanting itself in the earth and in the trees and in the stones. So from here we can imagine what will be the Kedushas of Adam when the Kedushas Hashem implants itself in a person that has a heart and a mind and a nefesh and a seichel and a tzelem elokim in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this is why, this is the meaning of what Rava said. Kama tipshoi hane inshi. How stupid these masses that'll stand up before a physical Sefer Torah, and they will not stand up before a Gavra Rabba, because they think that the physical Sefer Torah, that's the entire Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says that's made from physical ink, it's made from a physical hide. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merely bringing the sanctity of his Torah into that. Then how much more so a Gavra Rabba, a great Torah scholar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing the sanctity of his Torah into the Tzelem Elokim. And this is how Rabbi Kiva and the Gemara Mesochim, when it came to Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, that you should fear Hashem, and Shimon Amsuni said, Hoyederish Kol Esin Shebetorah. He would darshan es, but he said, you can't, no one can share in the fear of Hashem. Rabbi Kiva said, L'Rabbi Yishtamid HaChomim. You must give the fear that you give to Hashem also to the Talmidei Chachamim. The Meir, he says, the same fear. Because they share in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha in the Tzelem Elokim. Now, we see, so firstly we see this was the Hanogo all of the time. When it came, they gave great honor to the Sefer Torah. But it didn't compare to the honor they would give to a Gavra Rabba, to a great Chacham, when he would come. And now, we can understand a little better what took place with the Talmidim of Rebbe Kiva. The Talmidim of Rebbe Kiva, Shalei Noago Kovet Zelezer, first of all, you have to give Kovet to every Tzelem Elokim. But they were Talmidei Chachamim, and they were even Bechina Varebi to each other, where they learned from each other. And a person that becomes great in sanctity of Torah, in the wisdom of the Torah, that's a greater Kedusha than the Sefer Torah itself. And by them not according the proper honor, that's Bizui Dvar Hashem Boso, that's a Bizui HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, I can't be separated from it. And that's Tov, my Lekach Tov. And it happened in particular in these days. Why? Because the Torah wasn't in this world. When did it start to come into this world? It started to come into this world from Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed Klal Yisrael.
And he said, I will take you out of Mitzrayim. V'ahalahor hazeh tavodun, and you will serve me. He told Moshe on this mountain on Har Sinai. So the first day that they went out of Eretz Yisrael, out of Egypt, that was the beginning of bringing the Torah into the world and Klal Yisrael to the Torah. And every day the Torah came a little closer to this world and Klal Yisrael a little closer to the Torah. Every day of the 50 days between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Shavuos Bein Atzeres, Bein Pesach LaAtzeres. And as the Torah came closer and Klal Yisrael came closer, the influence of Torah, the prestige of Torah, rose in this world. This world saw. It saw what it never saw before. And this Lekach Tov was rising ever higher together with Klal Yisrael until Matan Torah. And it was those days that where one has to recognize the greatness of the Torah and accord the greatest of the Kavanah Torah. And it was in these days, therefore, struck the Midas Hadin. Because this became such a blasphemy, such a disgrace to the greatness of the Torah, came, heaven forbid, this great plague. And this is what the Gemara wants to teach us. From Pesach La'atzeres, Mipnei Shekulam Le'Noagu Kodat Elazel. And here we see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Lekach Tov. Why? If we learn the Torah and labor, that's the greatest Kavanah Torah to it. That's what he said, Al Ta'azovu, and therefore it's the source of all the brachos. It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And why the greatness of those who learn and study the Torah, and why we are obligated in giving such honor to its wise.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.